Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Spencer Caron. On October 14, 2020, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments regarding Torres v. Madrid. The question before the court was whether an unsuccessful attempt to detain a suspect by use of physical force is a, quote, seizure within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment, as the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th, 9th, and 11th Circuits and the New Mexico Supreme Court hold, or whether physical force must be successful in detaining a suspect to constitute a, quote, seizure, as the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit and the District of Columbia Court of Appeals hold. Kent Scheidegger joins us to discuss this case's oral arguments. Scheidegger is a legal director and general counsel at the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation.
On October 14th, the United States Supreme Court heard oral argument in the case of Torres versus Madrid. This case involves the question of what is a seizure within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. The case may be closer than many people had anticipated, depending on the willingness of the justices to reconsider a statement in a 1991 case, California versus Hodari D., a case that predates the tenure of any of the justices presently on the court. This case began 6 years ago in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where state police went to an apartment complex to arrest someone engaged in an organized crime ring. When officers Janice Madrid and Richard Williamson arrived, there were two people standing in front of the apartment in question. As the officers approached, one of the two ran into the apartment. The other, Roxanne Torres, who was on a multi-day methamphetamine binge, got into an SUV that was backed into a parking space. Although the officers were wearing clearly marked vests, Ms. Torres later testified she did not know they were police officers, and when they tried to open the car door, she believed she was being carjacked. She started to pull out of the parking space, moving toward the officer in front and placing the officer on the side in danger of being crushed. The officers fired, and two bullets hit Ms. Torres. Ms. Torres did not stop, however, or even slow down. She collided with another car, stole yet another car, got onto Interstate 40, and drove 75 miles to the next town, Grants, New Mexico, where she finally went to a hospital. She later pleaded guilty to criminal charges, including assault on a police officer. 2 years later, Ms. Torres filed a federal civil rights action. The district court granted summary judgment, finding that she had not been seized at the time the officers fired their guns, and therefore had no Fourth Amendment cause of action. The Tenth Circuit affirmed. The primary Supreme Court precedent discussed in the argument is that 1991 case, Hodari D. That case involved a teenager who threw away illegal drugs while a police officer was pursuing him, but before any physical force had been applied. Justice Scalia wrote the opinion of the court, joined by seven justices. The Hodari opinion begins by noting that for seizures of things other than people, the early cases clearly require physical control before there has been a seizure. The application of force, if unsuccessful in gaining actual control, is not a seizure of an object within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. Hodari then goes on to discuss the law of arrest of persons. Justice Scalia referred to arrest as the quintessential seizure of the person under our Fourth Amendment jurisprudence. This is the crux of the issue in the present case, and remarkably, Hodari did not cite any authority for it. While most arrests are undeniably seizures, the proposition that any action that constituted an arrest at common law is necessarily a seizure for Fourth Amendment purposes produced significant disagreement among the justices. There was considerable discussion and argument of common law cases on the law of arrest, where several justices noted that these cases arose in a different context. They typically involved arrests made in civil cases or misdemeanor criminal cases. Whether a person had been placed under arrest at an earlier point often determined what action could be taken at a later point. For example, breaking and entering a house was authorized for retaking an escaped prisoner, but not for the original arrest. There was also some discussion about whether there was a distinction in the earlier cases between an officer placing hands on the arrestee versus using some object or projectile, such as a bullet. Most arrests at the time involved the use of hands and occasionally objects, but rarely firearms. It seems unlikely from the discussion that the present case will turn on this distinction, though. Justice Gorsuch was the most forceful in questioning whether these common law arrest cases had any real relevance to the Fourth Amendment seizure question. He referred to them repeatedly as Dickensian debt collection process, an interesting term. Justice Kavanaugh most clearly stated the two-part question regarding the precedent in Hodari D. and the statements in that opinion that any application of physical force to stop a person constitutes a seizure as well as an arrest, even if unsuccessful. First, are those statements precedent rather than dicta, even though the facts of the case do not involve any actual application of force up to the time of the question? Second, was Justice Scalia correct that all common law arrests constitute Fourth Amendment seizures? The United States Solicitor General had opposed such a rule in Hodari. However, in the present case, the SG appeared as amicus supporting the plaintiff, asking the court to accept Hodari as a clear and workable rule that has been enforced for many years. The SG made clear, however, that they were only supporting the plaintiff on the seizure question and that the officers might well prevail on remand on the basis that their use of force was reasonable under the circumstances. Justice Sotomayor and Kagan were particularly skeptical of the argument that the key passage of Hodari could be characterized as dicta. They asserted it was part of the reasoning leading to conclusion, even if expanding beyond the facts of the case. They were critical of what they viewed as the defendant's very narrow view of what constitutes a precedent. One striking thing about this argument is how strongly the attorney for the plaintiff insisted that the case must be decided according to the original understanding of the Fourth Amendment. It will be interesting to see how the court comes down on this issue and how broadly it indicates the original understanding is controlling. There are major aspects of Fourth Amendment law that are contrary to the original understanding beyond serious question. The rule of Tennessee versus Garner, that police cannot use deadly force to stop a fleeing burglar, is flatly contrary to the common law rule. Even more importantly, the rule excluding evidence seized in violation of the Fourth Amendment has no basis in the text or history of the Constitution and is contrary to early American practice. A strong statement on originalism and the Fourth Amendment could be more important than the outcome of this rather unusual case, whichever side prevails.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.